When does the bridge close anyways? 8 tonight? Is there like a bunch of bicycles going over it right now or something? That's probably why. I see. Just trying to figure out why. If I need to call Daniel or not. He's going to give me a good excuse. Alright, we're going to look at 1 Kings 17:1. Going to have a Bible story here and learn some things. Us kids, and no kids are going to fall asleep, okay? Alright, no kids can fall asleep because you guys have got to help me. Nobody falling asleep on me, please. Oh, it's good to see Mrs. Peguet here. Oh, Miss Peguet, good to see you. Go to 1 Kings 17. That was interesting what Brother Caleb was saying. You know, people think guns are going to fix the country's problems, don't they? Just get more guns and that'll fix the problem. Don't have anything against guns, but that's not what that verse says, is it? But it worked during the Revolutionary War. How come it worked during the Revolutionary War? Because they had humbled themselves, didn't they? They humbled themselves as a nation, it even says so, looking for guidance from the Lord of whether they should, you know, leave England or not. And the Lord used the United States for many years, sending missionaries all over the world, blessed the country, because they humbled themselves. And that's the key there, isn't it? All right, 1 Kings 17, we got some pictures there. We're going to start out here in verse 1 here. And you guys are going to tell me, you kids are going to tell me, all the things that God provides, okay? We're going to look at verse by verse, and you guys are going to tell me. I'm going to ask you, what did God provide? And you guys are going to tell me, all right? Verse 1, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. This is the first time Elijah shows up in the Bible. Just boom, there he is. Don't know how old he is. We know where he came from. But what is the first thing that God provided here to Elijah in this verse? You guys see something that God provided to Elijah? What was it? The word of the Lord. That was not a kid, but it was the right answer. What did God provide, kids? The words to say. God provided the words to say. God provided the message. As you guys remember any other instance where God provided a message for somebody? They didn't know what to say. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus 4:11. You guys know where we're going? Who we're going to talk about? That kid is pretty good. He needs to give him a prize. Exodus 4:11. Says here, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Because Moses, in verse 10, let's read verse 10 first, I guess. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf to or the seen, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So what is another thing that God provides? We're thinking God provides, you know, food and shelter, and that's the only thing that he provides. But what else can he provide here? We see happened to Elijah. Uh-oh, we got first guy almost falling asleep here. Saw a yawn. Was one thing, the first thing that God provided Elijah here? The what? Okay, kids. This is not going to work. Did you guys hear the right answer? Think you can say it? What was the first thing that God provided here in this chapter? That was a little better. Go back to 1 Kings 17. No. We're not done yet. We're going to go Luke 21. You guys got your Bibles? Let's go to Luke 21. God always provides His servants the word He wants them to say. There's only one time I can remember in the Bible where God didn't provide the message. You guys know who that was? Where God was absolutely silent. Even when there was bad kings like Zedekiah, he was a really bad king and he snuck over to Jeremiah and he says, "Any word from the Lord?" What do you think? What did Jeremiah tell him? Even though he's a bad king, what did he say? "You bet there's a word from the Lord." He says, "There is. This city's going to be what? Oh my goodness. It's going to be captured. And you're going to get sent to Babylon. You bet there's a word from the Lord." But how about this? You guys remember the one time where there was no word from the Lord? One time. It was the first king in Israel. What was his name? Saul. And why was there no word from the Lord? Did he deserve no word from the Lord? He did, didn't he? Because why? He went to go see a who? A witch. He went to go ask counsel from a witch. And then first he disobeyed the Lord. And that was the only time that I can find in the Bible where God was silent and didn't speak to His servant. So I counted 92 times. It says, "The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came." God always provides His servant a message. Now we're in Luke 21, right? Verse 12. Luke 21, verse 12. It says, and it's talking about the tribulation coming up in verse 10. And there's going to be nations rising against nations and kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes and all over the place. There's going to be famines and pestilences. And there's going to be all kinds of fearful things going on. In verse 12, "But before all these things," that could be now, couldn't it? It says, "But before all these things," that could be now, "they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." There's going to be persecution, the Bible says. And there is persecution going on. There could be persecution in the U.S. someday, very soon. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Can you believe that? Maybe you're from Klatskanai and you don't know how to defend yourself very well. You don't know what to say. Don't know a smart thing to say. But guess what God promises? He says, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the message to say." God provides what? For His servants? The message to say, the message to say. Now, let's go back. No, we're not going to go back. Who is Elijah talking to when he says there's not going to be any dew or rain for 3 years? Who was he talking to? Ahab. Who was Ahab? The king. Very good. Ahab, King Ahab, he was pretty important, kind of mean. Especially his wife, she was even meaner. And he went up straight up to the king. Doesn't seem like he knew the king. He just walked up to the king and says, "There's not going to be any rain or dew for 3 years." What if you guys, how would you guys like to walk up to President Biden and say, "President Biden, there's going to be no rain or dew for 3 years in the USA." Do you guys have the courage to do that? I don't know. If God told me to do that, I think I'd be a little nervous, wouldn't you? I know I sure would be nervous. Like, what if it didn't happen? You know, what if the news media was there? What if everyone took a video of me saying that? And oh, what would people say? And that'd be kind of embarrassing. But so what else did God provide to Elijah? To be able to walk up there. Someone besides Brother Dale. What else did God provide? Courage. Good job, Judah. God provided courage. Now, does God provide courage for us today? Does he promise that somewhere? Or does he promise it? Let's look in 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's look in our Bibles in 2 Timothy 1:7. Hopefully you have this verse memorized. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Do we have the spirit of fear or of courage? Does God give us a spirit of fear or of courage? Of courage. Even courage enough to say the right answer in church. How about that? Think he did that? I think he did. So God provided first the what? Message, and then God provided what? Courage to say the message. Very good. Now we can go back. See what else God provided here. We are in 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Provide the memory where 1 Kings says it's just slow coming. Okay, verse 2. 1 Kings 17:2. Now, you guys look, okay? I'm going to ask one of you guys specifically what God provided in this verse, okay? So read it with me, because I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to ask Brother Dale, okay, Brother Dale? Verse 2 in chapter 17. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 3, okay, get another chance. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. Next verse here, Brother Micaiah. All right, did you guys get that? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Reuben, what did God provide in verse 3? We go over here to Amos. What did God provide here in verse 3? To do with a game we play sometimes. Andriana, what did God provide here in verse 3? Okay, the brook Cherith, but what was this area? What was it used for, the brook Cherith here? Well, it says the word here in verse 3. What's the purpose of this area for Elijah? A hiding place! God provided a really good what? Hiding place! God provides a hiding place for us when we're in trouble too. It was a really good hiding place too, because if you go forward a chapter in 18, we see here in verse 10, 18:10, that Ahab, after he got this message from this random guy that came up to him that he thought was totally just irrelevant and dumb, he searches the whole world for him. We see here in 18:10, Obadiah is talking to Elijah, just really worried that Elijah is going to ghost him again. And he says, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. So he would go to every country, every city, and make sure Elijah was not there. He looked so diligently for Elijah. So he wanted to reign again. So it was a pretty good hiding place at that, wasn't it? And we see here that God provides a hiding place for us. Let's go to Psalms now. Keep your finger there. Psalms 27, verse 5. Psalms 27, verse 5. Psalms 27, verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So in the time of trouble, God provides what for us Christians? A hiding place. Let's also look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119, 114. Psalms 119, 114. When there is trouble, God provides a hiding place. God provided a lot of hiding places also for Jewish people during World War II, didn't he? It's a famous person that hid Jews, and she wasn't the only one. A lot of people were hiding Jews, and God provided a hiding place, because that's what he does. Psalms 119, 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. You know, when you're playing hide and seek, maybe you're a little kid. My kids are terrible at finding hiding places. They think if they can just close their eyes, they're invisible. They'll be just in plain sight, just closing their eyes. Surely, mommy and daddy can't see me here. Now, isn't it great when you're a little kid and you're playing hide and seek, trying to learn where all the good hiding places were, an adult came up to you and said, hey, hide in this place. Wasn't that a good place? Oh, wow. That just made you feel really secure that no one was going to find you. A hope in God's word. That is the best hiding place. When he gives us a place where to hide. God provided first, what for Elijah? A what? A message. Then he provided a what? Courage. And then he provided what? A hiding place. And there's going to be a really good hiding place for every Christian. Let's look at it. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. You know, a lot of the world is thinking the world's falling apart, and so they better build bomb shelters. And, you know, probably not so much right now. But, you know, during, like, the Cold War and things, everyone was really infatuated with, you know, bomb shelters and bunkers, and even Y2K, they started doing it again. Just trying to find, you know, good places to hide for when the end of the world comes. But what are we to hide in? Where's God's got a really good hiding spot for us here. Isaiah 26:20 says, Isaiah 26:20 says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. You're out here talking about the tribulation. It's terrible years that God's going to come and punish the world for rejecting him. But what does he say, first of all, for us Christians? He said, I got a hiding place for you. I'm going to blow a trumpet and come on up to your home up in heaven and hide here for a little bit. 7 years while I come and bring destruction out on the world. You know, a lot of times maybe you can think, you know, maybe, I know it happened to me, and I talked to several of my nephews. They used to have the same thoughts, you know. They kept having these thoughts of being left behind and trying to survive the tribulation and what to do. And I used to catch myself thinking thoughts like that. I don't know if it's anyone else. It's just me and my weirdness. But, you know, the best hiding place, No matter how much you prep for the tribulation and thought about plan B and staying out, you know, surviving it, it's just not going to work. The only way you're going to be able to hide out is what? Getting saved, isn't it? And when that trumpet blows, you go up to your hiding place up in heaven. That's the best hiding place that God's prepared for everyone. You need to get in that hiding place. Now let's go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. We're going to see, I'm going to ask you guys again, in verse 4, we're going to read verse 4, and you're going to tell me what God provided here. 1 Kings 17, verse 4. All right, pay attention. See what God provided here. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. It's a hard one, all right? Ask, who should I ask? Who should I ask? Isaiah, what did God provide here in this verse? Food and water! Food and water. Wow, they're paying attention. Awesome. God provided food and water. Is that the first time God ever provided food and water? No. He kind of had a habit of doing that, isn't he? He's pretty much always on top of providing food and water for people, especially when they're out in the desert. And that's what God did for Elijah here. Provide him food and water. Let's read how he did it. Just how he said, right? Verse 5. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. We're not seeing any pictures, are we here? I forgot we have a picture machine. Well, there you are, brook Cherith. Let's go back. We need to see the brook Cherith, where it is. It's kind of across the Jordan, isn't it? Kind of out of the way. You guys want to turn around? I heard someone say, can't see. Alright. There it is. It's kind of in where Jordan is now these days. Kind of outside of Israel. I think it was part of Israel back then. But that's where God provided a place for Elijah to hide. And then, next one. And water to drink and food to eat. We see here, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. That's pretty amazing. And that's a pretty good way to hide, you know, if you don't have to have any interaction with any humans. I mean, how are they going to find you when the only interaction you got is a couple of birdies, you know? It's not like the birdies are going to tell everybody where you're hiding. Well, that's how God provided for him. Next picture there. And we see he was there. One more thing God provided here. We'll read 7 and 8. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. In verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So we see here what else God provided for Elijah. This is going to be a little bit harder one. God provided redirection. Redirection. It wasn't God saying, oh, I forgot I had you over there at Brook Cherith. It never occurred to me that the brook would dry up in this drought. Oh, what are we going to do now? No, God had it all. He had never taken his eyes off Elijah. He was just waiting for the right moment to redirect him. Sometimes we might think that God put me in an area, and what am I doing here? You know, am I still supposed to be here? God always provides what? Redirection. We see here in Hebrews 13:5. Probably have this one memorized too. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God never left Elijah, never forgot about Elijah, where he was at. And God realized that the brook was drying up, but that was all part of his plan. You want to go to the other one, Micaiah? Now we're going to go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. Verse 10. See here, where Zidon is. Where's Zidon? You guys remember another story? I think it mentions Zidon, doesn't it? When Jesus went up to cast the demon out of that lady up there in Lebanon. I think she was in Zidon, wasn't she? Yeah. So Zidon's way up north, not even in Israel, out of Israel, up there, and that's where God redirected them. Imagine kind of a long walk way up there. But, you know, he was hiding out from Ahab. God had all planned out when they weren't going to be looking for him and how he could sneak up there. And he gets up there in verse 10. And first of all, God told him, you know, I got this widow woman to sustain thee down there at the brook Kidron. Cherith, are we going to say it? He's probably walking, imagining, oh, they got this widow lady. She's going to take care of me. Got this widow lady. She's going to take care of me. Got this widow lady. She's going to take care of me. And I'm sure he's imagining in his mind, probably some rich widow, got a big mansion, you know. Something great to be able to sustain, you know, me. God's sending me all the way up there, and this is going to be great. Maybe there's not even a famine up there. Maybe, you know, things are going fine up there in Lebanon. It's not like he's been in communicating with the world lately on his phone or anything. He kind of just been looking at birds and a drying up river. And so he goes up there, probably with this preconceived idea of, you know, this widow lady. And the thing, oh, that's great, you know, going to go up there and hide out in her house. And she must be doing great up there. Verse 10. So he arose and went up to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. You're like, well, Lord, surely that can't be it. Next one there, okay. There she was. She was probably a lot skinnier than that. And he called unto her and said, you know, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And he's probably remembering a Bible story his mommy told him when he was little about how Isaac got his wife. You know, he's like entering the gate there, and he's like, well, Lord, is that really the one? She looks kind of skinny and poor and not like she can take care of me. And Lord, oh, what do I do? And so what do you say? Okay, you probably remember the story of Eliezer, you know. Well, what did he ask? You know, well, he asked for some water. So I'll start with some water. You got some water to, maybe she'll let me know, or maybe it'll be a sign or something. And so she hurries over and gets him some water, but nothing really happens. So he just goes out and says it, doesn't he? Verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And he probably didn't want to say that very bad because, you know, it was obvious that she was starving to death, or about to starve to death. Definitely very poor. In verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And so, there he was. There she was. Now, let's think about it this way. Did the brook just dry up, and God's like, oh, dear, I got Elijah stuck over there. Where am I going to send him? Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Let's find somebody here. Who could we send Elijah to? Or, let's think about it this way. Did God dry up the brook so God could save this widow lady and her son's life while she was a blessing to Elijah? Which one do you think? I think it was the last one, wasn't it? I think God slowly dried up that river just in time to send Elijah to be a blessing to that widow lady's wife. Life. Sorry. Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. You got that other picture there? Next one. And so there she goes. And she probably saw it as a sacrifice there at the beginning. She probably thought, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice this for this guy. I kind of do that when you don't have anything else and you're already about ready to start. Like, fine, just take whatever I have. I remember, I was completely broke one time, and we were moving the house in Guatemala, and as we were moving it, we were completely broke, and people tried to send us money, but the bank put it in the wrong account, and it was a holiday. We couldn't get money. And we were finding coins because we had big cracks in the floor, and Wesley would drop coins all the time just because it was fun. And we were slowly finding these coins, and I remember we needed a diaper really bad, and we needed a roll of electrical tape. Those are the only two things we really needed, really, really, really bad. And we finally found enough coins to buy a diaper and a roll of electrical tape. Maybe it was a couple of diapers. I think it was a couple of diapers. That'd be dumb just to have one. Anyways, and I remember this kid came up to me. This kid was my neighbor, and he was always asking me for something. And we did buy the electrical tape. No, we didn't. We didn't have enough. We just bought the diapers. And I had a little bit of change left over. We didn't have enough to buy electrical tape. And he comes up and he says, Oh, Brother William, could you please lend me some money so I can go buy some paper for my homework? And I pulled out, they were cents of cents, so very small amounts of money. I told him, this is all I got. You want it? And he just took it and walks away. I mean, it wasn't even enough to buy anything, so it was just kind of irrelevant. I was completely out of money, and it's kind of how I feel this lady was. Fine, just take it all. See, Lord, I don't care anymore. I just had one thing of flour left, and I was just going to eat one last meal, but you know what? Just take it. And that's kind of what she did. But then Elijah gave her the hope there. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And I wonder sometimes, you know, we see what we do for God as a sacrifice. But I wonder if it's actually, you know, our insurance that we will be provided for because we are doing His work. We see it as a sacrifice, but God sees it as our salvation for our provision for. Let's look at in Matthew 6:33. Probably know this verse pretty well. Leave your finger there. We're about ready to finish up with it. Matthew 6:33. She saw it as a sacrifice at first, but it turned out to be her salvation from that drought. Matthew 6:33. Says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we see things as sacrifices, but God sees it as a way to provide for us. Let's finish up here, verse 15, 2 Kings 17, 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Next picture there. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And just to finish up here with this point of God providing, we're going to go to chapter 19. verse 1. Elijah just did the contest there on Mount Carmel, and Jezebel yelled at him or something. Anyways, got him scared. He went a-running. Verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him a second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So, if God needs to use a birdie to provide for you, he'll use a birdie. If he runs out of that, he'll use a what? A widow lady. And if he doesn't have a bird or a widow lady, what will you do? He'll have some angels make some angel food cake and bring it down to you, right? Didn't get anything out there. You'll get that, huh? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your promise for providing for us. Thank you for providing for me and my family. And I ask, Lord, that you would please help us all to trust you, especially young people here. They learn to trust you, that you can provide for them, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing, serving you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to take a break for how many minutes? 10 minutes break.